Good evening, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to a special draft day edition of Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. It's day two of the NFL draft. It's the second round, and the Packers have just made their selection. Jarrell Worthy, a defensive lineman from Michigan State. To break down this pick, we have on the line Paul Guillemette of PigskinPaul.com, also one of our contributors at Pro Football Draft Preview, does our top 100 list. Paul, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you, and I'm doing even better with the Packers selection. I like this move.
Well, okay, let's get right to it. Why do you like it? Why this is a guy who was predicted by many to be a first-round pick, so I guess I understand why you like it, but what about Jarrell Worthy do you like?
Correct. Well, I'm going to echo in. I had him ranked as my 29th best overall player on my list. So I think I'll borrow from what Bill Polian just was commenting on ESPN, and that is that he's slightly immature, he's still young, but he is a potentially explosive athlete. And obviously, that is something that Packers defensive line can use. B.J. Raji is a stone wall there, but he certainly isn't what I would call explosive by any stretch of the imagination. And I think Worthy is. I think he does have some maturity issues. I don't think he probably gives max effort on every play like he'll be expected to in the pro game, but my guess is that he can be motivated and he can be brought around to be a real strong regular contributor to a defensive line in Green Bay that literally needs some help. He doesn't fit the exact stereotype size-wise. I guess I would say you look at him at first blush and you'd be tempted to say that, he's a more likely fit as a tackle in a 4-3 scheme. But if you think back and you look at some of the stats that have been compiled by some of these football think tanks, I think they clearly stated that in 2011, the Green Bay Packers actually had three defensive linemen on the field less than 50% of the time. More often than not, they had truly only two defensive linemen. And I think at his size, with his explosiveness and his strength, that will fit in perfectly when they drop into that, I think what most people still call an eagle package with only the two true down linemen. I think he and B.J. Raji will complement each other very nicely in those situations. And he's explosive enough, perhaps, to at least collapse the pocket once in a while, if not get a sack, per se.
Okay, so the Packers traded up to get Jarrell Worthy. I'm still not even exactly sure of the full compensation package here, who gets what. But, I mean, was this worth it for the Packers to move up and get him? There were other defensive linemen available still, Devon still, Brandon Thompson, Casey Hayward, the cornerback from Vanderbilt, still on the board. Could the Packers have waited and gotten one of these guys? Would have been worth it maybe to wait?
They could have waited, but I will be honest with you, especially with the Casey Hayward, absolutely. And I would have liked that pick. I think an awful lot of Casey Hayward. But I would say to you, Brian, that when I think of Brandon Thompson and Devon Still, I don't think they are as good a fit for the Packers scheme as Jarrell Worthy is. I think Worthy is literally more explosive and quicker than those two players are. So, and I guess I'll just say to you, let's face it, in Ted we trust, and that's the mantra that I think we owe him, so to speak, as long as they keep winning 10 to 15 games a year and go to the Super Bowl every third year or so. Obviously, the Packers liked him a lot. I'm guessing that they're pleasantly surprised that he lasted this long, I'm also thinking that they obviously felt he would not last another 7 or 8 picks to get to them. So I guess I'll just say I'm going to trust Ted and the boys again because they seem to do the right thing more often than not, and I think he's got potential, and I see that the Bengals just took Devin Still.
Okay. Can Jarrell Worthy be a two-gap defensive player? The Packers frequently ask their linemen to do that. Is he that type of guy, or how are they going to utilize him?
Good question. I'm not sure if he's that guy for that job or not. He certainly, I think he has the strength and the quickness to cover the two-gap. I'm not convinced, though, that he's, at this stage anyway, that he's got the bulk. Now, perhaps, Brian, perhaps the Packers, you know, if that's the role they see, or one of the primary roles, perhaps the Packers look at him and say, he's 308 pounds. We can get him in our training table and in our weight room, and we can get him up to 320 without losing his quickness and his explosion. I think he would have to put on a little more weight to be a real effective two-gap man.
Just, Paul, bear with me for a second here. If anybody following Law Online wants to comment on our live blog, please tweet with the hashtags CheeseheadTV. I don't believe any comments are being approved at the moment, so please tweet or use our Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player if you want to chime in. But getting back to the Jarrell Worthy analysis here, Paul, I kind of hypothesized to myself that maybe Jarrell Worthy wouldn't be a three-down player right away. Maybe he's not ready to play on running downs right away. Do you kind of fall in that area? Do you think he can be a starter and play three downs right from the get-go as a rookie?
No, I don't. And to be honest with you, I'm thinking to myself, Brian, that's something that the Packers are not necessarily looking to do with their defensive linemen. I don't think other than Raji, and maybe even not him, I'm not convinced. I think they are really moving more and more towards a true rotational system along that defensive line and keeping the fresh bodies in there. By the same token, however, I think that, and maybe this will help the scenario, I think many of us were a little bit disappointed last season that B.J. Raji's numbers and his performance, it wasn't just his numbers. I think if you watched the games, you saw that he wasn't making as many plays as he used to. And I'm wondering if perhaps a big part of getting out there and getting Worthy and trading up if they needed to make this happen, I'm wondering if what their goal is not to reach a stage where Ryan Pickett does not have to be the starting / defensive end, and that they can use Pickett in certain scenarios and get B.J. Raji off the field a little bit more and keep him perhaps more impactful and more fresh as the nose tackle being double teamed and triple teamed all the time. Worthy, I think, helps that. And I'm going to throw this in. I'm not trying to get rid of the guy, but I think that this move frees them up, if the rumors that I have heard are close to reality, this frees them up if they really feel that they need to just get rid of Mike Neal. Because he's always hurt. Now he faces a drug suspension. You know, I've heard multiple rumors about Mike Neal not being long in Green Bay. I think Worthy helps precipitate that departure if that's what they're really trying to do.
Okay, let me throw this in there as well. Where does Tony Hargrove factor into the defensive line rotation? He was signed this offseason, supposed to be kind of a pass rush specialist. Is Worthy going to take snaps away from him? And of course, I mean, we got this whole factor too where maybe Hargrove could be suspended as well as part of the whole Bountygate thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what, I have nothing to back this other than just hunch. And, of course, when it comes to the Packers and Ted and Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers, a lot of our hunches and our logic doesn't seem to pan out with what they end up doing. But, you know, I wonder, they certainly seem to be with signing, I know he wasn't a true free agent, but bringing back to town Daniel Muir, who I always thought was a pretty, you know, consistent, contributing, decent ball player when the Packers had him, and he did the same thing for the Colts. He's not a full-time player, he's not a star, but he's a decent player, and I think he's going to be 31. So as a part-time player, he should not be used up, and I don't think they'd sign him if he's healthy. If you look at him, and then you look at them signing Hargrove, and now they take Worthy. Brian, I'm just thinking out loud here, and I'm just wondering if one of the surprises this coming season and one of their ways to get more pressure on the quarterback will be to perhaps, in some of those scenarios last year where they flooded the field with linebackers and went with the Eagle two-down linemen, I wonder if we won't see, because of guys like Hargrove and Worthy, I wonder if we might not see a four-man line sometimes on the third and long situations.
You know, I had written an article, a column at CheeseheadTV.com about the Packers possibly running some sort of hybrid defense, kind of like the Patriots did this past year, almost a 4-3 to one side, a 3-4 to another. You got one gap on one side, two gap on another. And it seems almost to be lending credence to that the Packers drafted perhaps a guy who's maybe thought of as a 4-3 defensive end in the first round and a 4-3 defensive tackle in the second round. What are your thoughts there?
Right. Oh, yeah, and the same thing with Hargrove. You know, Anthony Hargrove, you know, even though, quote, the position they play is becoming less and less of an issue, I think, in today's NFL on the defensive side of the ball. But, again, yes, look at who they have now brought in. Daniel Muir, a big defensive tackle, not a nose tackle, but more of a defensive tackle. You know, they bring in Anthony Hargrove, who, if you had to say what's his position, well, he's a pass rush defensive end in a 4-3 scheme. Yeah, he's not a linebacker, and he certainly isn't going to be a 5 technique. And then you draft the two guys that they have just drafted, and yeah, I'm with you. I really am wondering if they're not going to change the philosophy a bit and go with more defensive linemen more often and use that as another way for Dom Capers to confuse opposing offenses. Because let's face it, what they did this year didn't work. Mm-hmm. This past season, I should say. It certainly didn't work. They took a step back in their ability to put pressure on opposing passers and quarterbacks. So hopefully they are avoiding. They're smart enough, and I think they are. I think Ted Thompson, I think Dom Capers, I think Mike McCarthy, you know, they're smart enough to avoid the definition of insanity, which is you keep doing the same thing over and over again and hope for a different result. Maybe they've got a grand scheme here to throw more of these multiple fronts and multiple formations at people and see if that doesn't generate more pressure and try to take a little bit of the heat off what's, you know, a secondary that maybe was a strength of the team 2 years ago, but now because of injury and age, I'm not convinced that defensive secondary is as good as it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
2 seasons ago.
Okay, so Jarrell Worthy, the knocks on him, as we mentioned earlier, sometimes he has an inconsistent motor, doesn't try in every play, perhaps a little immature. What are the odds that this is a total bust of a pick?
Oh, it's always there. Obviously, there are no sure things. And the Packers, you know, I would say to you, Brian, I hate to say this, and it you can't pigeonhole it because right now you'd have to say, wait a minute, they're all different situations. But you know, my comment to you would be, in my opinion, one of the places that Ted Thompson has had the most difficulty in finding people to improve his situation has been along the defensive line. You know, they brought in Justin Harrell, and he wasn't healthy, and he never stayed healthy, and he's gone. They brought in Mike Neal. He was going to be a great conversion project from, you know, really playing a defensive tackle position in an end at Purdue in the 4-3 scheme. He was going to be a big transition to the 5 technique, and he was going to become a star. You know, Chet has had some difficulty in trying to buffet up that defensive line, so let's hope that this is not another miscalculation on the talent for Jarrell Worthy.
Okay, now let's look ahead a little bit. What the Packers still have a big need at safety. What are the Packers going to do in the third round? Will they go that route? You know, they went defense 2 picks in a row, or perhaps is it finally time to address the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I think, you know, even though it kind of looks like we're, you know, the Ted and the guys are targeting, you know, exact specific things. By the way, Peter Kahn's just went to the Falcons. Hmm. I think that they're still going to stick to the overall philosophy, and that is that, you know, we're going to take the best available athlete at a position of need. So do I think it's possible that if the right guy is available that's a safety in round 3, that Ted will go for him? Absolutely. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure who that would be. You know, I personally
I'm there
don't
with
have
you.
George Iloka or Brandon Taylor really worth the pick until you get to the 4th round.
Yes.
But by the same token, if the guy would slip a little bit from where a lot of people have him ranked, I could see a guy like Tremaine Johnson, who played cornerback at Montana but has safety size, possibly being a very attractive secondary option for the Packers, and they just live with a little bit of time it takes to, you know, put up with the conversion from cornerback to safety. But I could see them, let's say Chris Polk, the running back from Washington, is available at the end of the 3rd round. I could see them taking a running back. Let's say by some miracle Casey Hayward or maybe a little bit lesser cornerback slips back there. I could see them taking him. I could see them taking the typical scenario when you do the best available athlete philosophy. 4 or 5 people at 2 or 3 different positions, and it's just up to them which one they feel plugs the combination of need and overall athleticism best. I think just because of the way Ted does business in general, anything is still possible when it gets to the 3rd round. It just depends on who's available. And they could trade up again.
Maybe. I'm going to...
You know, they...
I was going to whisper...
When you've got double-digit picks, if you... You know, and you have Ted's philosophy that, you know, you pick based on the quality group that's available. You know, I don't think Ted's going to worry about giving up a 5th or 6th round pick if there's a guy that they think is over and above anything else that's out there. Ted's going to go for, let's face it, you know, this team is young. This team is fairly deep at many positions. It's just a matter of getting the, you know, best available athlete. They could go for an offensive tackle if the right guy is available.
I was going to whisper the name Kirk Cousins as well in the 3rd round. Do we know, do the Packers still have a 3rd round choice?
I think they do. I would be shocked if they had to give up their 3rd round pick
to
move up 6 or 7 slots. I was assuming that they probably gave up one of their 2 4th round picks and maybe had to throw in, you know, their regular 7th rounder or something.
Okay. CD Angeli tells me it's
the trade yet.
Yeah, it's a 4th rounder, I'm being told on our live blog. So
that's what I would have thought.
Still a pick in the 3rd, still 2 more in the 4th with the comp picks. So Paul, thank you again for joining us today. That's all the questions I have right now, because I'm going to take a break, because we're going to come back on air after the 3rd round pick. We'll see. Maybe I'll be calling you again sometime this weekend.
Well, I just hope whatever the reason for the call is, I don't care what the position, let's just hope it's another pleasant call, because I would certainly think and hope that most Packer fans would be pleased with the first two choices that this team has made so far this weekend.
I would agree. Paul, thank you again, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Take care.
All right, take care. Paul Guillemette, pigskinpaul.com, joining us here on Railbird Central, reacting to the pick of Drell Worthy. Before I take off here, as I like to do, I got my old Pro Football Weekly Bible here in front of me, the Pro Football Weekly Draft 2012 preview, just to read the positives and negatives about Drell Worthy. I think it really gives an insider's view from Nolan Rocky of Pro Football Weekly and the whole crew there, who just do a fantastic job of breaking these prospects down. So here's what you're getting. The positives: excellent size and natural girth. Is quick off the step and very effective penetrating in the backfield when he's slanting and stunting. Surprising initial quickness, can be disruptive when he keeps his pads low and shoots gaps. Has enough size, mass, and power to bull his way into the backfield in two gap. Solid tackler. As for the negatives, average processing speed, can be late to find the ball and look like he was thinking too much as he tripped over a bag in combine drills. Too often coasted and took plays off, motor idles, does not play with fire, mild playing temperament, has underachiever tendencies, production did not meet talent, struggles handling double teams, tired too easily and tended to wear down in big games. And your summary here, a big, well-built physical specimen best suited to play in gaps in the pros. Worthy could garner interest from both 3-4 and 4-3 fronts given his ability to two-gap. However, he will reap the most return as a three technique where he could pressure the quarterback. So there you go. That's Drell Worthy. We've covered it pretty much from all angles here. And really, how interesting about that, you know, he's thought of perhaps best as a 4-3 defensive tackle. Nick Perry's thought of perhaps best as a 4-3 defensive end. Could the Packers be going in a different direction here with their defense? Really, really interesting. Whether it's a hybrid defense, whether they're going to play more 4-3 than normal, all sorts of possibilities here as you consider what the Packers are doing. And hey, they still got one more third-round pick here tonight, and we'll be adding to this team, whether it's a safety or elsewhere on the team. I could really see him going any direction. Now, I mean, they've filled two huge needs with depth on the defensive line, a pass rusher from the defensive line, as well as an outside linebacker. The Packers really only have one gaping hole, that's at safety, and the safety class is not very good this year. So, could I see him go safety in this third? Sure, but I really think you're looking at safety on the third day, more likely. That's my two cents. And, you know, I've been wrong before. Many people can confirm that. But that's it, folks, for a little bit here. We're going to pause. We're going to wait. We're going to see what the Packers do in the third round. And we'll be back on air no matter what the Packers do. Even if they trade out, we'll kind of come back on air at least briefly and break that down, the trade, and see what they're doing. So we'll be back. Hang with us. Thanks for joining us on the live blog. Stay tuned for more coverage and enjoy the draft, folks. We'll be back. Go Pack, go.